only way that you can give it away is if you start overflowing the thing that you have received. So we're going to go from, we're going to overflow this week, we're going to overflow next week, and then in the beginning of November, we're going to start with generosity, because we want to be generous with what we've received. And we're going to start by just overflowing with joy, overflowing with God's goodness. I just feel this urge in me to wake up the church and say, hey, you have so much to give. We have so much. We've received so much from God. We can just, if we touch somebody, if we pray for somebody. The other day, this girl actually got baptized today, but I told her to pray for somebody. We were in a car, and I drove this guy back to his house because he doesn't have a license yet. And I told this girl, okay, just looked her in the eye while we were, okay, we're going to pray for him now. You're going to pray. You're going to pray for him. She's like, And then while she's praying, she just starts sobbing, crying over this guy. And this guy just gets impacted by God's Spirit through that prayer. And she didn't even want it to pray for him. Why? Because she started to overflow from God's goodness. So let's read a couple of scriptures. We are basically going to do one scripture tonight. Okay. Psalm 23, verse 5 and 6. Luke already mentioned this one. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Say, in the presence of the All Blacks. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Joel 2:24, it says, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Okay, but get this picture. Do you need wine to live, Victor? You don't need wine, huh? You don't like wine. You don't need wine to live, okay? Mark, do you need wine to live? Do you need extra virgin olive oil to live? No, you don't need it. Okay, but God's actually, he's talking here about, it's not some cheap KFC oil. It is extra virgin olive oil from Israel. That's what he's talking about. He says it will overflow. That is his heart. It's for us to have the best and to experience his abundance. That's his Father's heart. If you think that you are worth less than that, you must change the way that you think. Because you're actually agreeing with the enemy. If you think less of what God's thinking of you, with who are you agreeing? You're agreeing with the enemy, and that's quite a strong thought, that you're agreeing with the enemy. If you think that you're not amazing and that you're not awesome in Jesus, then you're agreeing with the enemy and you're actually just living a lie. That's true. You meet so many Christians say, I'm a worm, I'm a worm, I'm a worm. You know what? David also said that. He said, I'm a worm, but then he's also saying, hey, I can run against a troop. I can leap over a wall by my God, by Jesus. We can do all things. So if we know that that is the vision, if your vision of Christianity is just to maybe make it someday and maybe you'll have enough to give tithe through the church, or you'll be able to pray for one person, or maybe you'll just love your wife. That is great things to do. But your vision as a Christian should be to overflow, to have extra virgin olive oil, like in you just it's just coming from your tap, man. You just and wine, it's an overflowing life. There's more to God than what we can think. Okay? So tell the person next to you, if you don't think you're awesome, tell the person next to you, you're agreeing with the devil. Because you are awesome. Because you're sitting next to me. And I am awesome. Okay, so John 10 verse 10. The thief doesn't come to come except to steal and to kill and destroy. So that's what the devil does. The moment you start agreeing with the devil, he comes to steal and destroy. So if you agree with these thoughts, no, you're useless, you're worthless. Oh, you know what? Jesus died for Mark and for Luke maybe, but he didn't die for Noah. No, we all know that he died for Noah, okay? And Noah, although you're in the Old Testament, Jesus actually died for you, eh? Okay. Noah, the Old Testament guy. Okay, you build the boat. That's great, amazing. We love Noah. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. No, it doesn't mean that you're just going to have life and you're just going to float through life. There's more. There's so much more. And I experienced that tonight. That I just felt like God saying, hey, there's more. There's more. Like Henry and I, we were actually talking about it before the service. He has this vision of creating, okay, and this is a dream that I want all of you to buy into. We're going to do a plate rage, but a Christian plate rage, and people's going to stream to George. I don't know what they can call it. It's not going to be George rage. It's maybe going to George awesome anointing, whatever. You know what? I believe it's possible. Henry also believes it's possible. Because we know that God is a good God and he loves big dreams. He loves abundance. I met this guy who does Christian trance music. But you need to be in one of the venues. You need to be Christian trance music. That's cool. It's not the method, it's not the genre of music that is sacred. It's the message. It's the heart behind the musician that makes it sacred. Okay, so there's more. Okay, so we're overflowing, and then we're going to come to 2 Corinthians 8 verse 2. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches. It's talking about Macedonia. I think the churches in Macedonia, Paul is speaking. Pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true color. So just stop there. Okay? What is he going to say now? What are their true colors? That you're not allowed to look in the Bible. Okay. No, true. Yeah, we think it's negative. Most of us think, like, hey, trials and tribulations, difficult times, expose our true colors, but then negative things come out. Now, look what the churches did. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. If you're a student, that's who you are. You are incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. So we want to create an overflow. If you don't think that you want more, if you don't want more, you are selfish. Because who of you have ever experienced this? You walk into a situation, you just wish you had more to give to somebody, whether it's financial or emotional or wisdom or knowledge or Bible scriptures or whatever. You just wish you had more. If you don't want more, you're selfish because you're just going to live for yourself. But if you live out of the abundance of God, you know you always have enough. You always have enough. Like some of the people in the morning service, they scare me with the kind of intellect that they have. Like we have a professor at NMMU. We have him in our church. And he's in my small group. And I'm 31 years old and he's 48. And when I speak to him, I'm like, hey, can I actually teach you something? Can I teach you something? But you know what? God has given me the confidence and the overflowing, not from myself, but from the Spirit in me, to know that I can actually impart to this guy. And he would ask advice from me. I'm like, hey, dude, don't ask advice from me. I'm 31 years old. I don't know anything. I know a little bit about babies. That's what I know about. Yes. There was a prophecy actually this afternoon that Monica is going to be pregnant by next year this time. Sam, you're going to have a baby next year. Okay, Sam, so can we just write that down somewhere in the wall? We can see if it doesn't come true, Sam, then we're going to kick you out of this church, eh? Because you're a false prophet. That's it. Okay, so that's great. Okay, so we are called to overflow. Okay, just shake the person next to you. We're just going to do a lot of shaking tonight. Shake the person next to you. You are called to overflow. I guess, tell the person next to you, your issues, don't bless God. You can bless God in your issues while you're going through this issue. But they don't bless God. Okay. Do you know that God's not blessed by my illness? He's not blessed by my wrong attitude. He's not blessed by my emotional immaturity. He's not blessed by my financial insecurity or my own insecurities. He's not blessed by that. He calls us to more. He loves it when we actually in those insecure moments, because we're all gonna go through them. Poor moments, terribly poor moments as a student. He calls us to bless him in those moments because we only have until eternity starts or until we die to actually bless him, because in heaven there's not going to be any tribulations or financial struggles or desperately poor people. You're just going to have so much wealth because of God's presence. But we shouldn't be like, wow, God, okay, I know I'm just going to remain like this. I'm just going to remain like this. No, God wants you to overflow and have an abundant life. Okay, but we're going to look at how do you get to that? How do you get to that? How do you overflow? So we're going to do one verse. I'm going to read two verses now, but we're only going to focus on one verse. Psalm 92, verse 13. That's the verse. And then we're going to go 14. Just to add some more scripture to the night. Okay. It says this. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. If you're old like Luke, then you're still going to bear fruit. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Jy sal vars wees en jy sal floreer. Okay, so we're going to do that one scripture. Just the first part. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So we're going to focus on three things here. The first one is to be planted. It says if you're planted, so that's number one. Two, if you're planted in the house of the Lord, that's number two. And then the third one is you will flourish. So there's a promise. It says if you do this and you do it in this, then this will happen. And unfortunately, all of you are Christians here. If you're not Christian, we're going to ask you to come up afterwards and we're going to pray for you and we're going to trust that you meet with Jesus, because that's the most wonderful experience you will ever have. But if you're a Christian, yeah, you need to believe the Bible, unfortunately, and that's true. So it's a promise. It says, if you do this, if you get planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. So we're going to look at those three things. So it's easy. It's an easy sermon, one scripture, man. No, we're just going to focus on one scripture, okay? One scripture. Listen to this. Amazing. So we're going to start with the house of the Lord. What does it mean? So I broke it up into three ideas, three dimensions of the house of the Lord. The first one, the house of the Lord, as in that scripture, it means the presence of God. So when you read through the Old Testament, you read about the temple, you read about the house of the Lord, or synonyms of house of the Lord, God's dwelling place, the tabernacle, it means, it speaks of the presence of God. In Exodus 25, God speaks to Moses, hey Moses, I love my people. Build me a tabernacle, build me a temple, build me a house so that I can dwell amongst my people. So his idea is to be with us. But I always get like goosebumps when I think of this. God created the universe, so and he has this desire just to be here on Luke's lap all the all the time. He doesn't want to be close to Luke. He just want to be close to, what's your name? Alfonso. Have a little knob of yes. He just wants to be close to Sam. He just wants to be close to Lisa. So the God of the universe, he has a desire. Just think of how strong that desire is. My little daughter, she's 4 years old, and when she has a desire for cookies, that is a strong desire. Now, she's not even close to, that desire is not even close to the intensity of God's desire for us. So the house of the Lord speaks of God's presence, and it speaks of God's desire for us. So that's the Old Testament. That's where Noah lives, in the Old Testament. So this is the Old Testament. Now we have a line. It's actually a cross here. Jesus, he died. So you guys are here in the New Testament. Okay, do you understand? You're the New Testament people. You're with Jesus. So you have John the Baptist here. Victor is John the Baptist. Okay, you guys are Elijah, Isaiah. Isaiah, great. Yeah? You're not buried in the Old Testament, okay? Okay, so cool. So now we have Old Testament, that's temple of the Lord, so now I have Jesus. What happens when Jesus dies? The veil gets torn of the temple. So Jesus dies, there's an earthquake, the veil gets torn. It's like God saying, hey, Holy Spirit, the presence of God, because the Holy Spirit represents the presence of God, I'm going to release you. I'm going to release you so that you can be with all my people. That desire that I had to be amongst the people because of Jesus, he was the ultimate sacrifice. My people are holy when they're in Jesus, so I can actually be with them. On this side, I was just holy and I can't meet with unholy people, so I had to live in a tabernacle and they had to do so many rituals and things just to get close to me. On this side of the cross, there was a perfect sacrifice. I can be with all people. So I want to be with my fullness with all people. That's what God's saying. So when you talk about the house of the Lord, the New Testament, it means the presence of God. And we live in the New Testament. You guys also actually live in the New Testament. I don't even know it. So when you read Old Testament, David says, I just one thing I desire, and that's to dwell in the house of the Lord, of my Lord, all the days of my life. It means he wants to be in God's presence. And you know what? In this time, that David was amazing and he was a great king. But we actually have the opportunity to do that. To dwell in his presence. Like I said, that's the presence of God. So that's the first dimension. So when you read to be planted in the house of the Lord, you read first, you're planted in the presence of God. Second one is family. Who lives in a house? Family lives in a house. Is the idea of people coming together to worship God. So we need to be planted in living, loving, transparent, faithful relationships. That's what the house of the Lord means. Presence of God, family. We don't pray that our or the My Father, we pray the Our Father. 1 Peter 2 speaks of we like living stones built up to become a spiritual home. So just think, okay, over here we have Luke. He's a living stone. Monica's probably close. Just next to you, Luke. No, maybe this one. So they, and we all are put together so that we form the spiritual home of God, of his presence to live in us. So when we think of the house of the Lord, it's not an individual. It's not like, wow, Mark's so amazing, he is the house of the Lord, or Jan is so amazing, Kathy is so amazing. No, it is people coming together. We are family. There's a relationship. So we all lived and we form the spiritual home of God. So that's the second one. And then the third dimension is the local church. So the house of the Lord is first presence of God, second family people. And then the third one is also it means the local church. So what is the local church? Where did it start? How why do I Why do I equate it with the house of the Lord? Like it's Old Testament house of the Lord. Why? How does it? What's happening? Acts 2. So Holy Spirit comes, 3,000 people get saved. Imagine that. 3,000 people. I think it's more than a camp at the NMU campus. 3,000 people get saved. And what it says that they all were together and they started to meet at the synagogue, which is a big meeting. Every day they actually came to synagogue every day. So love for all of you to come to our church every day. You can make us coffee, and Luke, that would be amazing. So every day they met at the synagogue, which was a big meeting. It was a massive hall of people. But then they also met in homes, in small groups. That's why when we do church, we do celebration services on a Sunday. And then we also meet in homes. Why? Because it's the most effective way to meet people. So we come here and everybody brings something, and Luke's challenging all of us to bring something to the church. It's not about the amazing sermon or the amazing worship. It's about us coming together and being built up as a living stone to form a spiritual home for God's presence. And it's sad for me to see that so many of us in this day and age, we don't like structure. Who of you have heard this? We don't like the institutional church. We don't like structure. I think all of us had conversations with people where we're just like, hey, no, man, church is so old school. We're just going to get together in our little home group. My question is this: if you're so amazing in God's presence there, you know what? You're going to grow. Because there's so many needy people and they want Jesus. And if they're going to come into your home, what are you going to do? You need more homes. And then eventually you're not going to get to everybody in just different homes. You need a bigger venue. And that's why you need a church. Why you need a church. And then there's also, how are we going to pray and we're going to get vision and then we're going to go for something? Like if God's telling us to do a plet, a Christian plet, okay, now we have the vision. We need people. Henry's not going to do it on his own with Marika, although they're amazing. They need people around them. There's a scripture in Matthew 24, verse 12. It says, and because, so this is mind-blowing paradox, but so profound. It says, because lawlessness will abound, love will grow cold. It says, because of a lack of structure, a lack of rules, a lack of discipline, love will grow cold. And if you want to do a family one day, you're going to experience this. Okay. So on Friday night, a lady drops her kids off at our home, and she only collects them, I think it was past 9, and our kids' bedtime is at 7. So it's lawlessness just abound. Okay? So kids are running around, they have sugar rush, because this lady left them so many sugary things, and just lawlessness abound. What happens to me and Cornell? Our love grow cold for each other. And our love grows cold for our kids. So that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He says, hey, you know what? Yes, you're a free generation. Yes, you are free in me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all know that song. We've got it so often. There's freedom in God. No more shackles, no more bondage. But if you want to love me well, you will need to submit to some sort of structure. You need to be diligent in your thinking of how you're going to communicate your love towards people. You need to work on a plan to how to save your neighbor, how to think of loving your friends better. You're like, hey, okay, we're going to plan it out. We're going to think, okay, every Wednesday, I'm going to meet these people in a small group. Every Sunday, I'm going to come to a church. And then Tuesdays, I'm going to meet those people in my neighborhood that don't know Jesus for supper. I'm going to pray. My wife and I, we're going to pray. Whatever. There's this idea in our generation that structure is not good. No, it is good. It is good that you go to school. It is good that there's government. It's good that you actually go and wait in a long queue at Binnenland se saak to get your ID. You shouldn't have waited in a long queue. We must pray for more effectiveness. But there's a goodness there, the central governing system. It is good. Without that, this country will be in chaos. And same with the church. God says, if you want to love people better, if you want to be a better witness to the world out there, we need to love structure, and that means church included. That means God loves what JH is doing. He's on a roster, and he needs to do that. Henry is on a roster, he needs to come and worship, and that just facilitates the presence of God. Clive and Amore, they're also on a roster. Fanny is on a roster. So it's a structure that facilitates the presence of God, but it shouldn't start with the structure. It should first start with the presence of God. The most important thing is the presence of God. The second most important thing are the people. If you try and, it's like, no, sorry, man. No. The roster tells me only to reach out one day a week, and it's Wednesday. Sorry, it's my day off. I'm not gonna share the gospel with you. No, that's stupid. They're just stupid. No, I'm not going to, I don't have time for God between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock because that's my time with my family. No, I'm just going to go. No, it's stupid. It should facilitate the presence of God. So, the three things, presence of God, family, local church, that's the house of the Lord. Okay, so tell the person next to you. It's the dimensions of the house of the Lord are, and then name the three things. Okay, do you all have them, eh? So I want you to read, and there's so many, go and maybe Google that. Just House of the Lord, Bible Gateway, and then see how many scriptures refer to that. And when you read that, if you want to apply it to your life, you need to think, okay, wow, it's talking about the presence of God, it's talking about family, it's talking about relationships, having strong relationships. And then the third one, it's talking about the local church. You guys know Carl Lentz, he said the following. Some people say, I'm so spiritual, I don't need the church. That's what it sounds like when we say, yeah, I'm so spiritual, I'm just fellowshipping with the Trinity. That's all I'm doing, eh? That's probably enough. Yes, it is great that you spend your time with God, but you need other people. Because you don't have the fullness of Jesus. We don't have the fullness as individual. We need other people. And we need to submit other people. We need to ask them, hey, give me feedback on how am I following Jesus? What Renee was saying, how am I showing Jesus' love? How am I advertising God? Say, give me feedback on the advertisement that you're seeing. Give me feedback. But we only can do that in family, in a local church. So it says, house of the Lord, and what should we do? We should get planted. What does that mean? There's a photo up there. That is what planted means. You get your roots down deep, baby. Down deep. The root system is actually bigger than the tree. I love this picture. The root system is actually big. John, I don't know is that how it works? No. You, huh? I thought you're doing that. You're doing a master's or doctorate in that. Okay, you're not doing it. The root system is actually bigger. So you get yourself planted in those three things. You say, God, I'm going to plant myself in the presence of God. So I'm going to look for opportunities to worship. Worship, we in this church, we value worship. We do it longer than probably most other churches because we just value worship. We know when we worship, we're actually communicating straight with God. Everybody has the opportunity. It's not only the guy with the mic. So we worship God and we plant ourselves. So get into your room and plant yourself in worship. Get yourself worship CDs. And when you drive your car, just worship. Just praises of God, Holy Spirit. I want, if you can't sing, just say, Holy Spirit, I want to plant myself in the presence of God. And you get your root system right there deep. When you walk into, one girl, Lisa Wilsdorf, she shared this idea with me. Amo, if you don't want to meet somebody If you're just maybe walking, you're on your own, just put in your earphones and you're doing shopping. Just put on some worship music while you're shopping. Just worship God. What are you doing? You're planting yourself in the presence of God. We want to be planted right there. So if I see you walking with your earphones in and Pick and Pay, I'm going to go like, wat is liedjies daai man? Sing saam, sing hardop. Because most of you will actually do it while you can't hear you sing, so you'll just start singing. It's a great thing if you just to communicate God. So get planted in the presence of God. Get planted in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And next week we're going to pray for people to get filled with the Holy Spirit and get planted in that. Okay, so second one is you need to be planted in family, in friendships. You need to be planted where people are. Maybe it's where you stay in your res. Maybe it's in your house. Maybe it's in this church. Maybe it's with your family. But you need to be planted. So what does it mean? It means that you need to be the best friend ever. The best colleague ever. The best member ever of this church. You need to be like, wow, I'm just going to be planted. You know what? You can't offend me because I'm planted. Mark, I'm going to love you. I'm going to build this relationship. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to support you. I'm just going to go for you because I know for this season I am planted. Whether it's for 3 months or for 5 years or for 10 years. There's some people I thought I'm going to be friends with them for 1 week because I was in a camp away for 1 week or a mission trip 1 week. And then they, because we just both had this idea of getting planted in those friendships, trusting the people around you, we actually became lifelong friends. So you get yourself planted. Your root system, go back. Your root system should look like that. If people look at your friendships, they must be, wow, man, that root is all over the place. This morning I used this example, like Clive sitting there at his desk at his audit firm. And the boss comes in, and the boss is like, hey, why is the table so skew? It's not level. He says, no, it's just my roots. They're lifting the table. I'm just getting planted here. And it was great. Afterwards, people came to me. One guy came to me and he said, Amo, I don't like my job. I want you to pray with me because I want to get planted in my job. I want to enjoy my job. I want to suck the life out of my job because there's life to be sucked out of my job. And it's a good thing if you start sucking the life. Not that you mean you want to drain it just because you want to love. There's nothing worse than working with somebody that and you feel like, okay, they're just going to be here for a month. So you don't want to actually just, because you're going to see the attitude is not here. Maybe it's here in person, but it's out there. The same if you're a student, if you're just here for 2 years, love this town. Love your campus. Love your family. Love the people that you meet. Just love them. Get planted in that. And then the third one is get planted in a local church. In this, if you this is not the ultimate church, but if God's telling you to get planted here, you need to do that. And that means that you make a decision. You say, God, I feel that you are leading me to be planted, whether it's his family or the church. I feel that you need to, that I need to get planted here. So I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to tell you, before I do that, I'm going to tell you a story. My wife, when we were doing counseling with students and we did a relationship seminar and we were talking about how can we help people to do better relationships, students better relationships. And a lot of students have these very spiritual ideas of relationships. And then one girl, she said, hey, my boyfriend told me, hey, God told me that I must love you, that I must be in a relationship with you. And then she said, and it was a good couple, and it worked out. And then my wife said, hey, Om, I don't want you to tell me that God told you to love me. I want you to love me. Yes, I know that you want to be obedient to God, and I want you to know that you want to follow God. Yes, that is true. But then ultimately, I want to know that you have made the decision to love me yourself. Yes, God has given you the ability to love love me and you want to be obedient in that love, but I want you to make the decision to love me. And the same with getting planted, whether it's relationships or this church or other church. As you make a decision, you say, God, I'm going to decide to be here. So when somebody comes, because if you like, no, maybe I felt I don't have peace with it anymore. But now if you've made the decision, you're going to stick it out. You're going to say, okay, God, and some of you need to, for seasons, you're going to go away, or some of you are going to go away to another church, and that's fine. But then you make the decision to go plant yourself in that other church, because it's important. It's important. We're going to look at the promise that comes with that. So tell the person next to you, you need to make a decision to get planted, brother, sister. Okay, if we can go back to that, just go back to that. Okay, so what will happen if the winds come? What will happen? I think that tree, it will be planted. It's the same with if you're a human being, you're going to be offended somewhere down the line. In other words, people are going to hurt you. You're going to feel that people are dishonest with you. You're going to feel that people didn't treat you properly or well. But if you are planted, first, in the presence of God, second, in family, in relationship, third, in a local church, your tree will stand. And you'll be like, wow, man, that person tried to offend me. I'm just going to love that person. Because my root system is in God. My root system is down deep. There's so much love that I'm sucking up from the ground, from the soil. Because I'm planted. Okay, so here's the cool thing. And this is the last bit. There's a promise. There is a promise. Like if you can get the Bible, just read through the Bible and read about all the promises that God gives us. It's amazing. It is amazing. And this scripture is one of those amazing promises. It says, if you are planted in the house of the Lord, and we've looked at that, you will flourish. You will flourish. You will flourish. Blomiki. You will make like a blom. And you will bloom. You will flourish. And it's amazing if Scripture tells you that. If you do something, then this will happen. It will surely happen. It will surely happen. God says, those who call out to my name, ask forgiveness in my name, I will give it to them. It is a promise. If you do that, it will happen, because God is faithful. He cannot lie. He cannot go against himself. What does it mean? It means that you will flourish in your relationship with God. You'll be able to say, I have an amazing relationship with God. And all of us should be able to say that. I have an amazing relationship with God. That's what flourish means, because you're rooted in God. The nutrients from God's presence, from God's family, from the church, you're just flourishing. That's beautiful. You will flourish in your relationship with other people. You will flourish. Because you're that good friend. You're faithful and you're amazing and you're awesome. You will flourish in your relationship. All of us, I think, would love to flourish in relationships. And then you will be emotionally, you'll be well. You will prosper. And I really have this thing that I feel we're so afraid of being prosperous in the kingdom of God. We're actually afraid of that. Because there's so many scriptures that say it's very difficult for a rich man to get into heaven, like going through an eye of a needle, camel going through an eye of a needle, and we look at all that. But if you have your priorities right, if you go for the presence of God, and you go for family, and if you get planted in a local church, and if you really seek God's kingdom, then God, He will flourish you, even in your financial situation. That is true. It says in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. So, if you're in God's presence, you're going to be blessed. Jy gaan gebless word, Buddha. Jy word gebless. And it says, and add no sorrow. If you go after worldly wealth and you go after fame, just from a worldly perspective, there will be sorrow added to it. If you go for pleasure, you'll end up probably destroying other people. You'll end up destroying yourself. If you can get, you can go on amazing highs with different drugs in this town. And I have experience with people coming from that background. So you can get amazing highs. You're going to be blessed in those amazing highs. But there's a lot of sorrow. If you're going to seek after wealth, if you're going to be so selfish, what, you're not being planted in the presence of God, you're not being planted, you're actually just adding sorrow to your life. So it says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and add no sorrow, Proverbs 10:22. But we shall flourish if we are planted in the house of the Lord. Okay, let's stand. Okay, who of you want to flourish? Jy wil blom soos 'n blommetjie. Callum, do you want to flourish? Will you flourish? Yeah. Okay. All of us want to flourish. But it sometimes mean that you need to uproot yourself because you're not planted in good soil. And you need to plant yourself in the house of the Lord, like we discussed tonight. Okay, so from what do you need to uproot yourself? You need to uproot yourself from whether it's worldly thinking, thinking too less of who you are, thinking that you are worthless, thinking that God can never do anything for you because you never had a dad or you never had a mom, your dad's useless, or your dad and your mom is divorced, or whatever thinking, negative thinking is. You need to uproot yourself from, hey God, I'm going to uproot and place myself, plant myself in the presence of God. Or you need to get yourself uprooted from sins. From sin. Maybe in your thought life, maybe lust. Maybe just so being so selfish. Maybe just filling yourself with music that's not from God. Filling yourself with, just this morning, I felt God telling me that I must say, if you're watching romantic comedies and that's where you get your love experience from, that is sin. Because our love should come from God. But just uproot yourself. Because there's nothing, like if you compare God's love to a romantic comedy, it can't compare. It's stupid to think of that. You need to uproot yourself and then get yourself planted. Maybe you're addicted to something, whether it's pornography or cigarettes or some whatever anger thing that you're struggling with. You're just addicted. You need to break free from this thing. You need to get yourself planted here. Maybe you're just so rebellious, nobody can ever tell you what's wrong in your life. You don't listen to your dad, you don't listen to the teachers, you don't listen to your boss, you don't listen to anybody. You need to uproot yourself from that rebellion thinking, because rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. That's in the Old Testament. And you need to place yourself in the presence of God. But if you get yourself planted, there's the promise. I don't like talking about sin, because I just think sin is stupid if you know God. But if you get yourself planted in the presence of God, everything else will look stupid. Like I look at some of my friends making lots of money, but then destroying themselves. The other day, I had a friend visited my brother. He makes lots of money, but he's in a homosexual relationship, and he's just destroying himself. I'm like, God, it's just stupid. It is stupid. Not him. I love him still. But it's stupid in comparison to the presence of God. Now, would you just close our eyes? If you feel that God is speaking to you and he's saying that, hey, uproot yourself from something. Could be anything. Could be anything. Just raise your hand. You need to uproot yourself from something. Great. I just feel that God's also challenging you. Some of you will need to leave your friends for a season at least. Because what happens is, it's great on a Sunday, but then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you surround yourself with people that don't love God. And for a while that is good. And then God's going to strengthen you and he's going to send you out to evangelize those people. Else you're just going to go back into the same rut, okay? Again, then maybe God is speaking to you about just getting planted. In other words, committing to people, committing to the presence of God. In other words, committing to quiet times. Committing to reading the Word, studying the Word. And then also committing to a local church like this church. This is an amazing church, not because I'm the pastor, but because God is here and I just love the other people. And that means if you're planted, that you come to church regularly, and you not only come to church, you ask Luke, hey Luke, how can I serve at the church? Like Monica and I, we were speaking and we're like, hey, sometimes we just worry about you. Some of you come here and then you just leave. And we're like, hey, we want to build a relationship. We want to love you. And now you're just not here for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then you come back. You're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. He's still here. But it's a family. If I only pitch up at my house once a week or every fourth week, you know what? I'm not going to be part of that family. I'm not going to feel part of the family. I'm going to feel judged. My kids going to not know who I am. But there's going to be so much love when I do it every week. And that's part of the structure. If we live disciplined lives, the Bible says the diligent hand will rule. And if we live disciplined lives, we'll be able to love well. So I want to challenge you as a young generation that we're not like our parents. I'm not like my dad's so diligent in everything he does. My mom is so diligent in everything she does. And she commits to everything. They commit to the same people for years and years and years. They're just so amazing. We love being free-spirited all over the place. But I ask that you ask God, if this is your house that you need to be planted, and if that is your house, and if you haven't done that, you need to do it tonight. You just say, God, I'm going to plant myself. I'm going to serve this family because I know that I can bring people and people will get saved here. They will experience something of God's heart in here. I'm not perfect. My wife's not perfect. My wife's more perfect than I am. But we follow Jesus. And we want to see his kingdom come in George. But it's really difficult if you don't have people that can be the arms and feet, the body of Christ. And I talk to other pastors and it's the same thing. Hey, yo, Christians, they're more committed to their social time, they're more committed than they are to just actually planting themselves in the house of the Lord. So just close your eyes. If you feel that God's just leading you to plant yourself, just raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to just open your arms like this as if you receive a present, because you're going to receive a present. There's a promise that you're going to flourish. And just pray this prayer after me. Say, thank you, God, that you have died on a cross for me, for me, for me, and for the person standing next to me. Thank you that we are family. God, I ask that you give me the revelation of David, a love for the house of the Lord. And God, it's my desire to get planted in the house of the Lord. Lord, I ask that you take away fear that I might have for this commitment, but that you will show me the promise of this commitment, and that is to flourish, to overflow with your goodness, with your love, with your holiness, with your grace, with the fruits of the Spirit. And God, thank you that you are doing it. You are planting me. And I just declare to the devil that I am planted in the house of the Lord. No evil thing, no demonic power, no offense, nothing can uproot my root system because I'm planted. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So if you feel that you need to confess something specific, like all my evil things I've confessed to somebody very specific, like I've went to speak to him and said, hey God, hey buddy, I'm struggling with this thing, whether it's rebellion or pornography or masturbation or whatever, you need to uproot yourself from that and need to plant yourself. I want you to come forward and you're going to share that with somebody. We call it repentance. Repentance is amazing, not because you're only stepping away from sin and you're getting rid of that nonsense, but also because you're turning towards God and to people. Okay, so if that's you, whether it's a smoking addiction, whether it's a dope addiction, whether it's rebellion, selfish, or just not being obedient to what God has told you, I want you to come forward. We're going to confess it to people. Okay, just be brave. Just be brave. Okay, thanks. Raj. It's amazing there's no sinners in the house. Do you know that? There's no sinners in the house. Because if you know Jesus, you are not a sinner. You are the righteousness of God. And then yes, from time to time we slip up and we do nonsense, but that's not our identity. We are royalty. We are sons and daughters of a living God. We are kings. And we should overflow. Ons is konings se kinders. Like you should walk past a Christian and like, hey, I just want to touch, rub shoulders with a king. Because that's who we are. Okay, I know there's more people. I'm just going to prolong this a little. Just come forward. Receive your freedom now. This line is just a line of freedom. Just walk out. Okay, well, we're going to worship now. And maybe you're not. Do you like to share something?
Hello, everyone. Yeah. It's scary being up here. Sweating, and it's snot, and it's not cool. But, yeah, and a hoodie underneath this, and ew, and I'm Indian, so it's hot. It's chilled, okay. Yeah. I've always been scared to do this, to tell people my dark side. Everybody's got one though, yeah? Well, I've been addicted to a lot of things. And I was always lying to myself about it. I was saying, no one knows, it's my thing, you know? No one needs to know. It's my burden to carry. And I came here today and ew, it just knocked me on my feet. Or off my feet, should I say. Yeah. I need to say that I'm sorry. Sorry for being lukewarm. Because that's what I've been. and I don't want to be lukewarm anymore. I want to burn hot. I want to be on fire. And there's fire in this building. There's so much fire that gives you goosebumps, you know. You get cold when you get goosebumps, but the fire gives you goosebumps. You know? And I just want to say thank you for your mercy. And for always opening your arms. Like the song says, I'll run into your arms. I need to just surrender and say that we're nothing without you, Father God. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. And never let me go. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hey, guess so if you want to, can we sing another song? Idri, can we worship song? We're going to worship last song, but I want you to just give it all. Give it all. And then, Raj, we just want to pray with you in Romania. If you want to just get rid of something, but also feel that God's, maybe when I shared about Henry's huge dream, I feel that there's a goal in here. You also have a massive dream and you don't even feel you want to tell people. But I just want to pray with you about that dream. It's a godly dream. So if that's you, also come forward. We just want to pray and we'll lay hands on you. We're going to commission you to do that. Thank you, Jesus.
God's greater. I've got a stronger God. You are higher than any other. I've got a sealer. Awesome power.
Then good as
Okay, if you need healing in your body, if you need any healing, God wants to heal you tonight. And we're going to pray for you. There's people with spectacular anointings in the house, like Mark and Craig and Monica and lots of other people. Amen. But we believe God that He can still heal. Okay. So just come forward. If there's any other need, you're welcome to come forward. Else, just enjoy God's presence. Pray for somebody. Talk to somebody. Bless somebody. Amen.